Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And here are a couple of stories we're following today. The first regularly scheduled commercial flight from the U.S. to Havana in more than 50 years landed this morning. The AP reports passengers aboard the American Airlines flight cheered as the plane touched the ground at José Martí International Airport. American Airlines had a small celebration before the flight departed and handed out straw hats that read Cuba to passengers, many of whom were on an emotional journey, arriving in a Cuba officially mourning the death of Fidel Castro on Friday night. Also today, and staying with flight, Lufthansa, the German airline, is canceling more than 1,700 flights scheduled for tomorrow and Wednesday. The pilots' union is continuing a series of strikes that started last week. The dispute between the union and the airline has been going on for more than 2 years. Lufthansa says it's seeking an injunction from a German court to halt the walkout tomorrow. The airline was not able to convince the courts to end last week's strikes. Well, hospitals used to be required to perform autopsies on at least 20% of patients who died on premise. Many autopsied more than that. But in 1970, the requirement was lifted, and the number of autopsies has been falling ever since. Not counting patients who died of external causes like car accidents, hospitals autopsied an average of just 3.9% of patients in 2014. Why? Well, it can be hard to ask families to sign off on the procedure. Insurance often doesn't cover it. And technology has made doctors increasingly more trusting of their own diagnoses. Still, many doctors are pushing for more autopsies. Irina Joroff attended one to find out why.
How much does he weigh?
170.
Perfect. Wish I weighed 170.
Dr. Robert Owenby, a pathologist who heads up the Hahnemann Hospital Autopsy Unit in Philadelphia, suits up in a blue plastic gown and latex gloves before approaching the patient on the metal table.
He's a 64-year-old gentleman, and his only significant history is hypertension and Parkinson's for 30 years.
The man died 3 days ago. Owenby, a team of residents, and a technician whose job it is to do the actual cutting are investigating what killed the man and what was going on in his body at the time of death. The procedure is incredibly hands-on.
You use four of your five senses. You can guess which one you don't use.
The residents do a physical exam, feeling for abnormalities. When they're ready to cut, they cover the dead man's face with a blue towel. Concealing his gaze feels appropriate somehow. Fred Radhoff, the technician, makes a Y incision, two diagonal cuts on the chest and one down the belly.
I'm going to take this down to the pubis, go around the umbilicus.
He's wearing a mask, so he's a little muffled. Owenby tracks his progress as Radhoff pulls back the skin with its layer of yellow fat tissue to reveal the bowels.
You may detect an odor.
Radhoff prepares to remove the rib cage. He tells a student it's okay to draw a line along which to saw.
Many people will do this to give themselves a guide. I've been doing it so long, I really don't need it.
Radhoff has been doing this for nearly 20 years. He uses what's called a striker saw. It cuts bone, but not flesh. And a favorite trick in the autopsy room is to put the spinning blade to your palm and freak out first-timers like me. Radhoff opens the chest cavity to reveal the heart and lungs.
Nice lungs.
Yeah, really. Nice and pink.
Non-smoker? Wow.
Doctors suspected a stroke killed him, but couldn't confirm. The patient's family requested an autopsy to clarify what happened and see if there were any genetic problems they should be aware of. Doctors told me for families, the final autopsy report brings closure. For doctors, it's quality control and learning something new.
We often find things that are unexpected at autopsy.
Studies show that autopsies turn up contradicting causes of death. For example, a doctor blames pneumonia, but an autopsy reveals that it was actually a tumor.
That's despite the fact that we have all this technology, this wonderful imaging that's very specific.
Doctors can also see how a treatment, like chemo, for example, affected a patient and approached similar patients accordingly. Radhoff suctions out fluid and scoops out organs to give to the residents working across the room. He takes them out in blocks so the pathologist can check for problems in the connections between organs. Adeola Tomiolugbodi, a third-year resident in pathology, weighs, measures, feels for abnormalities, and slips the organs into a solution to prepare them for lab work.
We're contributing to the body of science from what we find.
It's very clinical. Almost makes you forget you're dealing with a person. Still, ONB gets that none of that is enough to convince some people to send loved ones to autopsy. I ask him if he wants one when he goes.
I've gone back and forth about that, to be honest. To some extent, for myself anyway, religion and the mystery about what happens after death comes into play. Am I going to need my organs when when that happens? Realistically, of course, no. But yeah, I think I would probably want an autopsy performed.
ONB says they do everything possible to accommodate families with similar concerns, but where bodies are involved, even science may not answer every question. As for the patient, the family may wait a month or two to see if the complete autopsy report brings clarity. For Here and Now, I'm Irina Zhurov in Philadelphia.